Blog Talk Radio.
That he will keep
from us, no good thing. He's blessing us right now. Yes, yes, yes. I am excited about his flow. I'm excited how God works. I am excited how God answers prayers. Yes, I'm excited. I am excited about his relationship, not having a zeal of God, but actually having a relationship with God. And we're going to talk about if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the word of God says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. My God, you know, we have the antidote. We have the answer right here in 2 Chronicles 7:14. So he's blessing us right now. There's nothing that's missing if we pray. All the answers are right there. It says that we humble ourselves and pray. So God is so good. God is so faithful. God is so awesome. I'm telling you, and I am excited about it. I'm truly excited about what he is doing. Well, this is Prophetess Teresa Phillip Dox, and I'm here on Saturday with the Word. For the last 3 or 4 weeks, I believe, we have had I've been blessed with Prophetess Pam Hines. She's been doing a 6-week series, and we just thank God for the woman of God. And tonight I'm standing in, but I just give God the praises and honor for who he is and how he moves in our lives. We just have to give ourselves to him. We just have to humble ourselves. And we have to turn from our wicked ways. And then the word says, and then he'll heal the land. Turn from our sins. The answer is right there. And you know, when we do what the scripture says, we're able to walk into the blessings of God. We're able to see his hand move. We're able. And that's what the word says. He's blessing us. Yes. And, you know, I'm just excited about it. And I want you to get your Bibles out and get ready. We're going to go over a few scriptures the Lord has given me. But right now, he's blessing us. Is he blessing you? Yes, he is right now. Just begin to thank him. Just begin to thank him. Just begin to praise him. Thank you, Lord God. Well, Father, we thank you that you are moving by your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can intercede for revival. We thank you, Father God, that you've given us that relationship with you. And we just thank you, Lord, that you work on us first. Cause us, Lord God, to see and understand what you would have us to do, what you would have us to say, where you would have us to go, and how you would have us to move. And, Father, I ask you to bless those that are on the lines. Father, I even ask you, Lord God, even those that are listening on the Internet, I ask you to bless them, their homes, and everything that concerns them. Father, we thank you for this hour of power. We give you glory. We give you honor. For, Lord God, we understand that it's all about your will. So I ask you to use me, Father. Open up my mouth to speak what you say about the word of God. In the mighty master's name of Jesus, I say amen and glory to God. Glory to his name. Well, we just bless God. We're going to be talking about the scripture, "If my people." You know, one of the most important tasks of intercession is praying for revival. And that's what this scripture is talking about. It's talking about reviving God's people. See, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and this is the most important part, and turn, be revived from their wicked ways. Then God said, if you do this, he said, then will I hear from heaven. My God. Now listen to that. Then will I hear from heaven. So he's in heaven. He said, I will hear from where I am and will forgive their sin and will heal their land, will revive the land, will make the young people pull their pants up, revive the land. And as an intercessor, that is one of the most important things that we can pray for. Praying for revival. You know, in this chapter, we're going to find out about the definition of revival. This whole verse. I want to talk about how to prepare for revival. And how to recognize when revival is needed. And you know what? We're going to also talk about how to identify obstacles that hinder revival and how to intercede for change. You know, we pray and we intercede, but today we're going to talk about how to prepare for change and how to recognize when change is needed and how to identify evidence of a backslidden condition. We need revival. We need to be revived. The land need to be healed. Yes. You know, now let me explain first what revival is not. See, revival is not just emotionalism. Sometimes we can become so emotional. You know, have you ever heard the saying, boy, that preacher really did preach? And then you say, well, what did he preach? Or what did she preach? And you can't even, the person can't tell you what was preached. Emotions. Emotions come and emotions go. But when the word of God lands in your spirit, you're going to talk about it. And you don't have to try to remember. Yes, the enemy tried to steal our thoughts. But a lot of time that seed did not land on good ground. We have to know that when we're sitting in the presence of the word of God, we got to get something out of it. We need to get something out of it. In the name of Jesus. We need to, when we leave the presence of the word, we need to make a decision that we're going to take something with us, that we're not going to just come and hear the word and not be doers or not let it be watered. It needs to be watered so it can grow. So that means when we sit up under the word, we got to go into the presence and go into meditation. and take that engrafted word and just be in meditation about the word of God. So listen to the word over and over and just get it in your spirit. Let it be engrafted around your parts of being. Because sometimes we operate in the flesh and we reject the word if it offends us. But people respond emotionally to revivals. But emotions are not just a part of revivals. They are not revival at all. You know, true revival will affect all of you, the whole thing, your whole body. When you've been revived, when you've been refreshed, renewed, restored, you just feel like a load have left, including the burden that you might be carrying. Now, we're going to talk about what the word says. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We got to be revived. When we turn from our wicked ways, that's a revival. When we should hate and we love, when we used to hate and we're loving, we've been revived. When we should forgive and we don't, we haven't been revived of unforgiveness. Now, I said I was going to talk about what revival is not. And I said it's not emotional. But emotions can cause you to stay in the same place and not be changed. Because true revival, it makes you walk different. It makes you talk different. It make you live different. It will make you think different. Now, knowledge and facts about revival. You hear people say, I went to a revival, and we had a revival every night at the church. And then a couple weeks later, they're still in the same place. Now, we're going to talk about the convincing power of the Holy Spirit. It will touch the man or the woman spiritually and emotionally, and it will bring change. And that's what revival is. Revival brings change. So as an intercessor, we have to pray for revival in others, in our lives, and in the lives of others. Now, being revived, sometimes people get in the presence of loud music, and I like to even say hellfire preaching, you know, with the music loud and the preacher screaming and the people yelling, and you know, they say, wow, that's a good revival. But then when they leave the church and all the music is stopped, and the preaching has stopped, the campaign has ceased, is revival still there? That's the emotional part. You know, church growth is a result of revival. You see, church growth when people are changing. It's not the same as being revived. Revival is not evangelism, but evangelism is proclaiming the good news of the gospel. But revival is what comes after you have been evangelized. When dead believers are revived, like Lazarus, he was revived. He was dead. Couldn't feel a thing, but he was revived. And sometimes we are living our life dead, full of what has been or what have happened to us in the past, full of things that's keeping us from being and doing and changing and walking in what God wants us to walk in. So as an intercessor, we need to be praying for revival. Revival in the lives of our loved ones, in the lives of people, that you see them hurting. You know that they're hurting. And you've been praying and praying for God to change the situation. Well, I want to encourage you tonight to pray that they get revived, that God blow on them afresh, and that they receive the breath of God, that they don't reject what God is doing. You know, and I'm sticking to revival because as God was ministering to me about the scripture, if my people, which are called by my name, we say we're called by God, the scripture says should humble ourselves. So that means we need to be humbled. And we need to pray. We don't pray. We don't pray. We don't want to sacrifice getting up out that bed or staying up late to meet God and seek his face. Run to him. Look for him. Seek him. The Bible says if you seek him, you'll find him. Then the next verse says, the next sentence says, and turn from their wicked ways. Well, a lot of times we don't feel like we got wicked ways. But I'll tell you what, unforgiveness is wicked. It's wicked. Those are some of the wicked ways that God is talking about. So we can't be thinking that we're okay when we're walking in unforgiveness, when we're walking, and we're walking in anything other than love. It is not God. Because God is love. God is love. He is love. And we have to walk in love. Walking in love will allow God to move in situations where we learn how to forgive others that have despitefully used us. We learn how to pray for them. We learn how to bless them. That's the God's way. And when you can do that, you're walking in revival, renewed, restored. So as an intercessor, that's what we should pray. We should pray for revival. Now, where was I writing? Then will I hear from heaven. He said, I will hear from heaven. So God is in heaven, because right here it tells you. He said, I will hear from heaven. I'm not going to hear you until my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. He said, I'll forgive your sins. And this is the part I love. I will forgive your sins. He said he won't forgive you if we can't forgive others. Then he said, and I will heal your land. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. God's going to heal our land. Revival is going to come. Yes, the Holy Spirit will touch those young men that's out there robbing and killing, and women that's selling their bodies, and the church will begin to be on the mission of getting out and evangelizing the lost. Revival will come. And, you know, when you think about revival, and I like this, revival is sovereign, like God is sovereign. Revival is the sovereignty of God. Nobody can revive us but God. Nobody. So we have to get in his presence. We say we want change, but change only comes when we change. When we change our pattern of thinking. When we change our pattern of doing. Yes, God has given and graced us with those kind of powers and anointings. So revival is sovereign in that it cannot be produced by man. Revival is extraordinary because it's the special work of God. A revival works within a group of people and in behalf of God. In order to be revived and prepare for revival, we must apply the principles that God's revealing to us in his word regarding revival. Now, every time that we won't change, it ain't always the change that needs to be in somebody else. The majority of the time, the change needs to come within us. Because if we renew our minds, change will come just with that alone. Now, everything the Bible teaches about change or revival, it is a rhema, or should I say a specific word of God on a subject. You know, for instance, we may say that revival is, and some people say, you know, you need to be awakened or refreshed or restored or strengthened. All of that is revival. Yes. Revival. We need to be revived. We need to prepare, as it says in Acts 3:19, the word says, times of refreshing. Times of refreshing from the presence of God. So we are refreshed by being in God's presence. By his presence come when we get in his face, when we seek him, when we call on him. His presence come when we're in the fellowship of the saints. His presence come when his word is alive in us. The Bible says, how can you be revived without God? How can you hear the word without the preacher? And how can the preacher preach unless he was sent, he or she? So we got to start preparing for revival. You know, we can compare preparation for revival. Just say, okay, I don't know anyone on the, if anyone on the line, you might have been a farmer or you may have worked in the fields, but farmers, they can sit around and pray for a good harvest. But if the farmer does not prepare the field, how do he prepare the field? He plants the seed and he waters the crop, and what happens? Will it come? Will the crop come? Will the crop grow? If he does not plant the seed, if he does not water it, so if he does not prepare it, but he pray for it, he's not going to get a harvest. So equally, like a farmer who thinks because he does his part in praying and don't do the work in these tasks of the harvest, won't receive a crop. It takes the crop to be in God's soil that can cause the soil to grow. Because sometimes you can plant in bad soil. And you'll hear farmers say, I didn't have a good crop this year. But it's the sovereignty of God through the rain and the sunshine and the proper weather that will bring the crops to maturity. You know, the farmer, he can work in cooperation with the principles of sowing and weeping, reaping and seed time and harvest time revealed in the Word of God. But God is still sovereign for the rain, the sun, and the proper weather. It all comes from God. So it is a sovereign move of God that we reap revival. We must prepare for it by following God's word, by following the principles that's in his word. Revival is the joint movement of the Spirit of God and the response of God's people. So we have to know that if we want revival, we have to do what it takes for revival to come. The Bible says, seek thee early and you'll find me. So we want to be in his presence. I read the scripture in Acts 3 and 19 where it says, a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So we want to be refreshed. We want change to come. We want to be revived. We got to get into the presence of God. So we have to prepare for revival. We have to prepare for the land to be healed. And we can be a representation. Then will I heal their land. Then will I change your thoughts. Then will I cause you to forgive. Then will I cause you to love. Then will I heal their land. Now, how do we know when revival is needed? How do we know when change is needed? How do we know when refreshment is needed? How do we know when strengthening is needed? How do we know when revival is needed? Revival is always needed, of course, but it is most necessary when a backslidden condition is apparent. Like, to understand backsliding, consider the example we're going to talk about in Israel. You know, Jeremiah, what did he do? He called the problem of Israel, what did he call them? He said they were in a backslidden state. Jeremiah 1, 3 and 4. He said, the backsliders in heart shall be filled with his own ways. They were in a backslidden state. So they were thinking their own ways was okay because they were filled in their hearts that they were right. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Proverbs 14 and 14. And you can also turn to Jeremiah 1, 3, and 4. But I'm going to have you right now turn to Jeremiah 2. Let me see. And, you know, God was not as important to them as he had formerly been. So if you, when you, you know, get off the broadcast or when you get time, I want you to just look over in Jeremiah chapter 2 and just read it, because God knew that he was not as important as he had been to them. They had left their first love. And I think verse 6 and 7 talks about they forgot the great things that God had done for them in the former days. and even the religious leaders of Israel. They had joined the backsliding state. The priests failed to ask, where is the Lord? And that's in verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. And you know, when God was crowded out of their lives, they turned, what did they do? They turned to other things, to idols. They turned to another love. When you turn to another love, when you have backslidden, and you know you're not in that place with God that you used to be, that you once were, revival is needed. They forsook the true source of spiritual water and began to crave out other things, other gods. They exchanged living water for stagnated water. And they began to drift spiritually. They entered into a self-righteous condition. And they also justified themselves with excuses. You ever heard somebody do that? Got an excuse, got a reason for everything, why this happened. Well, so-and-so did that. Well, I would have been able to do this, but that happened. Making excuses so they can justify themselves. And then they drew others into their mess. Verse 33 and 34. So they drew others into their corruption. They were already in the backsliding state, and they were self-righteous, and they were making excuses, and they start bringing others up into the corruption, you know, telling the story to them, and so they can start feeling the same way. I say they were transferring the spirits. But backsliding is the sin of crowding God out and filling your life with self. And it's described as a pig going back to the mire and a dog returning to his vomit. I believe that's in 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's see, verse 21 and 22. That's being in a backslidden state. Yes, God said he's married to the backslider. But God don't want us to stay in a backslidden state. Now, I want to give you some evidence of a backslidden condition. Now, first I'm going to encourage you, we're going to examine our own hearts. We're going to examine our own life. And as we enter into the heart, our hearts, are we in a backslidden condition? I mean, think about it. Think about it. You know, sometimes we can be in a backslidden state and don't even know it. Sometimes we could be hurting and think we okay. Sometimes we can stink and don't even know it. And if we was not so emotional, those around us wouldn't be afraid to tell us. You know, it's just something that the people of God, we're so tender. We're so easy to get offended. And, you know, we just want to be left alone. We don't want to be in that place where we could grow, because we'd rather just stay in the backslidden state and think we're okay. But the devil is a liar. God wants us to grow in him. God wants us to grow in him. God wants us to have the spiritual power that we know when we're in a backslidden state, when we know that what's coming out of our mouths is keeping us in a place from being revived, keeping us in a place from God's healing our land. It's so important that we know where we are, that we know when we need revival. And I just want to make a few points. You know, when we lack the spiritual power to know that we're in a backslidden state, we can get comfortable where we are. We can feel that all is well. So we have to constantly examine ourselves. We have to constantly get in God's presence and repent. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, open my eyes up. Let me know, Lord, when I need to be revived. Let me know, Lord, when I need to get in your presence. Let me know, Lord, when I need a change. So we can't always just go and ask somebody else, because they're not going to always tell us, because they don't want us to hurt our feelings. But we have to humble ourselves, and to humble ourselves, to humble oneself, it brings yourself low before God. And I'm going to give you some scriptures that will substantiate what I'm saying to you. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 40 and 41. Now, this humbling, it includes humbling yourself before God. 2 Corinthians 34, 1 through 13. His word, this is his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 34, verse 14 through 28. And his people, 2 Corinthians 34, 29 through 33. Talking about humbling yourself. What does it say? It say humble ourselves and pray. Now, we're to pray specific prayers, seeking God and turning from wicked ways. Now, we often have not because we ask not or we ask amiss. Now, we should ask God to revive us and pray specific prayers of confession. We need to confess to God, Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I need you to heal me. Lord, I need you to teach me how to forgive. Lord, I need you to teach me how to love again. Lord, I need you to show me. We need to repent so that our hearts can be prepared. We need to prepare our hearts for the move of his spirit. That's what we do when we pray. So first, God work on us. Yes, we stand in the gap for others, but first, God works on us. Then that scripture talks about seeking my face. That's easy. We need to seek God. And it's used in the Old Testament a lot of times, and I wrote down the scriptures different times that others were seeking God. Exodus 33 and 7. Deuteronomy 4 and 29. Ezra 8 and 22. 2 Samuel chapter 12, Verse 16. 2 Samuel 21 and 1. 1 Chronicles 16, 10 through 11. And the scripture goes on and on. Proverbs 28 and 5. Seek my face. Seek my face. These scriptures, seek my face. Isaiah 51 and 1, seek my face. Jeremiah 29 and 13, seek my face. Hosea 3 and 5, seek my face. It's on and on. Zechariah 8 and 21, seek my face. Malachi 3 and 1, seek my face. We need to seek God. The word says that if we seek God, we'll find him. No, we need to seek him. And we can't get in his presence when we are not lining up in our hearts. So we begin to worship God. And that worship causes us to get cleansed, causes the healing to come. When we worship, we are humbling ourselves. So we get into the place where we're humbling ourselves and we say, God, you're God. I'm not God me. You're God. I'm not God self. You're God. That's what worship does. You know, and I want you to go over those scriptures. And so that God can reveal that seeking the Lord, what is involved with seeking the Lord? We got to, you know, getting in his presence and want to pray. That's one thing. But seeking him is something totally different. Seeking him, being hungry for him. Lord, I'm looking for you. Lord, I want you. Okay, I got to take this off. I got to throw this away. I got to give this up. I got to stop doing that. I can't do that because I can't find God. So what is it going to take for me to find you, Lord? What is involved with me seeking the Lord? And I'm going to give you 5 points, and they are all scripture-based. First, when we seek the Lord, it involves to voluntarily do it. We got to voluntarily want to seek him. Like you might see an ice cream cone. You voluntarily want that ice cream cone. So voluntarily wanting to seek him, wholeheartedly turning to God. Yes. And then the second point, an inner attitude of commitment to serve God. That's what seeking God's involving, an inner attitude of commitment to serve God. And then thirdly, a decision to turn away from all evil. Yes, it starts with us making a decision. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to say that anymore. That's turning from evil. And then the fourth point, a decision of fulfillment of his will. A decision that I want to fulfill God's will. I want to fulfill his will, not thy will, not my will, but thy will. I want to do what you tell me to do. I want to say what you want me to say. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to be what you want me to be. Your vision is my vision. And the fifth point, a commitment to fervent prayer. When I get in your presence, ha, fervency, ha, fire, fervency. Not just I'm in your presence. Lord God, no, fervency, fervency. You know, seeking the Lord is the chief means averting evil. So evil comes. Here come evil knocking at your door. We run in his presence. Evil can't stand in the presence of God because he's a consuming fire. Yes, he is. And seeking the Lord is the chief means. That's how you avert evil. Turn to Amos chapter 5, verse 14, and then verse 15. I'm sorry, verse 14 and verse 4. You know, it's evidence of true humility. Because we're saying, Lord, I can't fight this evil, but I know you can. In Zephaniah 2 and 3, you know, it is the basics of sensing the presence of God. When we run from evil, when we run from, we say, I'm not gonna go there with you. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek his face. I'm not going to do that with you. I'm going to seek God. Hosea 5 and 15. I'm going to tell you people, God, seeking God, it brings life. Amos 5, verse 4 through 6. It must be done wholeheartedly. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 and 14. Seek God. Seek his face. And then where the second part, the other part of that says, turn from their wicked ways. You know, prayer and seeking God is not enough in themselves, but we must be, it must be accomplished by true repentance, which is a change in the direction. In the direction of what we're thinking, in the direction of where we're going, we must turn from evil ways toward God. What is evil ways toward God? Anything that coming against God's word, anything that comes against God's will. We can't stay the same. We can't stay angry at a person. The Bible said, "Get angry, but sleep, but sin not." And the Bible also says, "But don't go to sleep on your wrath." So you cannot, you should not be angry. So you didn't sin, but then you're gonna lay down and go to sleep. No, 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 no. The Bible speaks against that. You know, it's evidence that when we repent, and our repentance is true, then we have been revived in that area. It's evidence that the Old Testament revival, the church began to call, was called to repentance in Acts 2. And then the final call in the book of Revelation, what is it? It's to repent. Revelation 22 and 16. Repent. Turn from their wicked ways. Repent. Repentance is a gift from God. And that enables us to change the direction of our life. Acts 5, 29 and 31 through 31. You know, I can give you a lot of scriptures, and if you don't read them, you won't get the full essence of what I'm saying to you. But 2 Timothy 2, 22 through 26, all men are commanded to repent. And it just really, really bothers me. You got a lot of times you got pastors. They'll do things, and I'm not just separating pastors, but this is what how the Spirit is leading me. Sometimes man of cloth, women of the cloth, we won't repent. We think we're okay. And we'll hurt people, and we won't apologize. We'll cover up. But repentance is a gift from God that enables us to change the direction. So the Bible says all men are commanded to repent, Acts 17 and 30. It is God's will that all men repent, 2 Peter 3 and 9. And God worked graciously to draw men to repentance. Yes, Romans 2 and 4. Because the Bible says, without repentance, you will perish. We can do all this work, help other people, do this, but we have not repented. Because, Lord, I haven't done your will. And, Lord, I haven't forgave this person. And, Lord, I didn't do what you told me to do. Just repent and turn. You know, Jesus, well, Luke 13, verse 3, and then verse 5. But Jesus commanded that repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name among the nation. He said, repent. He told us to preach repentance in Jesus' name. That's Luke 24, verse 47. So we shouldn't walk around thinking we have arrived and someone else haven't. Because that same struggle that person is fighting with, and know it, you might be fighting with another struggle and don't know it, another demon and don't know it. But when you repent and you turn from sin, and even sin of omission, repentance includes turning from sin of omission, things that you do not do that you should, things you do not do that you should. That's sins of omission. Things that you do not do that you should. And then sins of commission is wrong things that you do. And then I got one further. Sin of presumption. Presumption, presuming by not seeking the counsel from God and sinning in the process. You know, I once had a man of God tell me, we were interceding and, you know, we wanted to know how he wanted us to intercede. And we were praying the will of God. You know, Lord, reveal to him the will of God and, you know, and let him walk in your will and let him walk in your way. And he came and told us to pray that God bless what he does. Jesus. You know, God will bless your mess, but it's better to walk in the will of God. Repentance also includes turning from dead works. Sometimes we could be busy doing something that we think we should be doing, and it's dead works. Hebrews 6, verse 1 through 3. Dead works are religious acts. And why are they done? They're done to gain merit with God by efforts, human efforts. You know, in the church of old, well, I hope it's the church of old, they sold chicken dinners and whatever dinner they could sell. And it would give them gratification. I worked in the kitchen all day. I'm so tired. I gave the kitchen my whole day. Human works. Dead works. And dead work can even include worship. And I want you to listen to me. Dead works can even include tithing. Dead works can even include deeds of kindness. And I'm going to tell you why I'm saying this to you. Dead works that can include worship. See, worship must be done in spirit and in truth. And if it's not done in spirit and in truth, it's dead works. Giving out of constraint, emotionalism, or because you're embarrassed to have the offering plate pass in front of you, is dead works. deeds of kindness or ministry done out of obligation or to receive glory is dead works. Any work which has no capacity to be made alive by the Spirit of God is dead works. And for example, sharing the gospel at all times and places to all men without regard to the prompting of the Spirit of God may be casting pearls before the swine. And that's Matthew 7 and 6. And reproving a scorner in vain, Proverbs 7, well, chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. Now, any work which is done in the energy or the flesh, and not in the power of the Holy Spirit, is dead works. We should constantly examine our spiritual condition, our motive, our method of ministry, and we need to repent of acts of omission, commission, and presumption, and dead works. So I want to summarize what I talked about tonight. Here is what we must do to prepare for revival. We have to humble ourselves. We have to pray, seek God's face, and turn from our wicked ways. Here is what God will do in response. Listen what he says. He'll respond. We'll hear from heaven. He'll hear from heaven. That would be his response. And then what did he say? He'll reconcile us. He said, I'll forgive their sins. He'll restore us. What did he say? I'll heal their land. I will heal their land. So I just want to encourage you in closing. God's revival plan is for us to intercede for revival. It's so important that we intercede for revival so that those things can happen in our lives, so that we'll actually see the manifestation of the prayers. We'll actually see change, and the change will begin in us. The change will begin inside of us. The change will begin inside of us. Yes. And I just want to, you know, in closing, we're doing a prophetic intercessors conference, August 24th and 25th. And I just want to encourage the listeners, if there's anyone on the line that would like to sow into what we're doing to bring this conference to pass, to help us in doing God's work, we're going to be doing it in Detroit, Michigan. And it's going to be for the whole, well, that Friday and that Saturday. And then on that Sunday, I'll be ministering at the New Prosperity Church with the pastor, Eric Ferguson, Pastor Ferguson, and with First Lady Maxine Ferguson. And that's in the Detroit, Michigan area. But I encourage you, this conference was done at the hand of God. God told us to do it. And God said, I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to put it in people's heart to sow so that this conference can come to pass. And what we're doing for those that sow, we're going to send them, if they sow a seed of at least $60, we're going to send them all the conference material, all the CDs, all the teachings, all of the prayers that's prayed. We're going to send you everything that the conference entails. Now, you can go to our website, which is www.kingdombuildersplaza.org, and you can sow that way. Or you can send us an email, which is kingdombuildersplaza.org, and you can email us. Or you can give us a, you can send it to us in the mail. That's 1033 Central Avenue. And that location is in Gary, Indiana, 46407. And I want to play an excerpt of one of the intercessors that's going to be at the conference. And I just want to encourage you to help us do what God have ordained for us to do. So I'm going to play a little portion of one of the prayers, one of the intercessors praying about seeking.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for our children and youth right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just plead the blood of Jesus over our children and youth, God. We plead the blood of Jesus over the school systems, God. We plead the blood right now in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit that will put a spotlight on the world and make it appear more beautiful and dazzling than it really is. We decree and declare tonight that this spirit has been bound and rendered weak and powerless in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that the generation that is being birthed will be as those that are thirst and hunger after the things of God in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, that you will raise up young intercessors, Father God, that you will raise up young prayer warriors, Father God. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will release them in the middle schools, God, that you will release them in the elementary schools, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that your anointing, Father God, will be upon our youth, Father God, even as early as 5 years old in the name of Jesus, God. We pray, God, that that prophetic grace will be upon them even at five, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We pray, God, that you will release them in the high schools, God, and the colleges, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will release your anointing, Father God,
Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory. Glory to his name, for he's worthy. I'm telling you, we're looking forward to an awesome time in the Lord, and we do need your support. I just want to thank you for all that have sown, and I just bless you. And, you know, there's always more work to do. Our youth, our young people, they're dying, and God won't change. God wants the children to be revived, even young children that need deliverance. I never have seen such a time as this. I mean, even babies possessed. Yes, we got to take our place, people of God. We have to take our place, and we got to get out there to bring change. And if we can't get out there, we got to sow so we can be that farmer that helps to sow into the crop of good ground. Yes, yes, yes. And even at the conference, we will be honoring mothers that have lost children to violence. So God have impressed upon us to encourage these mothers to get back on the wall. Yes. And the conference will be at 7601 Chicago Avenue, and that's in Warren, Michigan. It's about 20 minutes from Detroit, Michigan. We'll be at the Town Suite place. It's a Marriott. Registration is $60. The hotel, all the rooms are suites. The hotel room is $49.50, and that's double occupancy. And then you have to include your taxes. But I'm telling you, we're looking forward to a good time. And I want to just say our speakers will be. We will be having Pastor Celeste Morphy. She'll be teaching on the glory. And she is one of the pastors of Eagle Wings Church. And then we also have Evangelist Dana Hanna. She's the founder of Alpha Omega Ministries. And she'll be teaching, I don't have the list in front of me, but she'll be teaching as well. And then we also have Nathavia Cranford, Minister Nathavia Cranford. And she's from the Shield of Faith International Ministry, Detroit, Michigan. And she'll be teaching, what does intercession mean to the church? And then we also have Elizabeth Meeks. She'll be the prophetic psalmist, and she's from the Detroit, Michigan area. Also, we are having Prophetess Sharon Carter. She'll be bringing a prophetic word, and she'll be teaching on worship in the prophetic. And then I myself, Prophetess Teresa Philip Dock, I'll be bringing the word on prophetic intercession. How to hear God's voice. How to know that that's God that you hear. It's going to be an awesome time. It's going to be an awesome time. And then we're also going to have Minister Sophia Parks. She is a member of the AME Church in Detroit, Michigan. And also she will be teaching on what is intercession and the basic of intercession. So we have a ton of classes and a ton of fun for you. Breakfast and lunch is included. So I'm excited. All the materials, including your registration fee, I'm excited about what God is doing. This will be an annual event. We'll be doing it every year. And we want to encourage the intercessors to stay on the wall. Stay on the wall. So I want to thank you for tuning in tonight, and I want to encourage you not to get tired. Get back on the wall. Don't let nothing stop you from being all that God said you can be. Don't let condemnation hinder you, because it did not come from my Father. No, he don't condemn us. God will convict us, not condemn us. Let no man condemn you. No man, no woman, let no one condemn you. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Well, once again, this is Prophetess Teresa Docks. I'm excited and happy about being here, and I thank you for tuning in to another broadcast of Saturday with the Word. And just remember, revival is needed, and let it start with you. Let change start within you. Where would I be without God? Where would I be without the Lord? And we have some awesome intercessors that's going to be with us at that conference. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we don't know where we would be without you. But with you, Lord God, we know, Lord God, that we're safe in your arms. We know, Lord God, that there's none like you, Father. And we just thank you right now for what you're going to do. And I thank you for allowing this word to penetrate the hearts of those that are on the line. And even those that are going to listen in archives. Father, we give you glory and we give you honor and we worship you, Lord God. And we know, Lord God, that you're all that we need. So, Father, we just ask you right now to cover everyone on the lines with buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets of the blood of Jesus. Cover our homes and everything that concern us. And we thank you, Lord God, that it's already done. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. We say amen. And in closing, where will I be without the Lord? Where would I be? So God bless you.
I belong to you.
And have a wonderful evening.
Win!